Good morning, everyone. So this week we read the parasha of Shlach Lecha that deals most famously with the episode of Meraglim, to which we'll return a little later. But I want to start at the very end. The Mafzir for Parshas B'Shalach is a very well-known part of the Torah, if only because we recite it every day. And that's the parasha of Titus, beginning at Perek Yud. I'm sorry, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Of course, the question you're going to ask is, why discuss Titus? Well, women don't wear Titus. Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'lo b'nos Yisrael. Men wear Titus, and not women. And yet Titus, the parasha of Titus is part of Kriyat Shema, and it has a critical importance to our self-definition as Jews. There's so many ideas that are contained in the parasha of Titus that is why we recite it every day, and it's important, even if one does not wear tzitzis, to understand this parasha. Well, first, why are women exempt? As the Shulchan Aruch says in the Siman Yud Zayin, women are exempt because it's a mitzvah seishas man gromo. It's a time-bound mitzvah. I mean, the mitzvah tzitzis is, at least on some level, only during the day. Because of Urisim or so, you have to be seen. The tzitzis have to be seen. They're seen by day, not by night. Since they're worn by day, then and only day, so women are exempt. But the Ramah says that umikol makom, imrotzim la'otfo ulavarech alav, if women want to wear tzitzis and say a bracha on it, harishus biyadon, they have the permission to do it, kemo bishar mitzvah sheshman grama. Like other time-bound mitzvahs, women will take a lulav and say a bracha on it as well, like minhag Ashkenaz. Ach, the Rama adds, mechazika yohara, it looks like arrogance. It appears like arrogance if a woman would wear tzitzis or talis. Lachain ein lohen lulbos tzitzis chol veinachovas gavra. Therefore, women should not wear tzitzis because it's not an obligation on the person. That is to say, tzitzis is a very unique mitzvah, in that technically there's no obligation to wear tzitzis, even for a man. It's not a chovas gavra, it's a chovas haguf. It's a bodily obligation, in the sense that if a man would want to wear a four-cornered garment, then he has to put tzitzis on it. But technically it's an obligation to go out and buy a four-cornered garment. So why then do people do it? Because it's an easy mitzvah to fulfill, and because of the importance of the mitzvah and its significance in reflecting on so much of the Torah. What's the yahara involved? Why don't we say that if a woman goes to hear shofar, women are also exempt from shofar, or sit in the sukkah, or take a lulav? Why don't we also say in that case that it's yahara, that it's a sign of arrogance? So I think one answer is that all those other mitzvahs, like shofar, sukkah, lulav, they're all seasonal mitzvahs. They're just one or a few days out of the year, and they really reflect on the particular Yom Tov itself, so therefore women are eligible to fulfill them. But I think one other, maybe two other points as well. Yohara means that a person who would engage in that mitzvah would be construed as level jumping. In other words, there's so many obligations that we have that are mandatory that we are lax in or negligent in. So therefore, for a person to embrace an area that's optional before perfecting the areas that are mandatory, that itself would be a sign of arrogance, of yohara, that one is looking for an experience rather than for fulfillment of the mitzvah or for a way of serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I always thought that one of the problems that I always had with it, and I have to tell you, one of the odder experiences that I have, it's happened even in this neighborhood. I remember years ago I was at a rabbinical convention, only one I ever attended with had conservative reform rabbis as well, and the reform rabbis were noticeable at a distance because the men were not wearing yarmulkes and the women were. And you find that, by and large, I just saw this a few months ago. I was in a store locally, and it was a couple walking, and the woman was wearing a yarmulke, and the man was bareheaded. So right, I knew she's a Reform rabbi. There's something that, to me, is actually sad. It's not embarrassing that a woman thinks that she can only find spiritual fulfillment doing the mitzvah of men. That was mimicking a man. There's something sad in that, because obviously the Torah has roles, even for men, the Kohanim, Levim, Israelim. There are different roles that people assume, and it's in the panoply of different roles that we find our completion as a people. So for one to embrace the role of another, thinking that the role is insufficient, I think it was Rav Dessler who said that it's like an orchestra. An orchestra has brass instruments and wind instruments and whatever else they have. So if the violinist would suddenly decide in the middle of the piece that, you know, the trumpet gets more attention, I'll stop blowing the trumpet, then all of a sudden the orchestra is off and it's missing something. And that's the way Klal Yisrael is set up. Yeah.
I'm just reading Rashi's daughter.
Okay. Right, right.
And they want to take over all the mitzvahs.
Right. That's a novel or a historical novel? Right. Yeah, some people, Rashi's daughter, I don't think all the daughters, but some of them were famously...
He didn't have sons,
right. He had three daughters.
Yeah, three daughters.
Right.
Maybe they thought they were doing him a favor.
Right. I'm not so sure it was every daughter, but the Gemara mentioned the case, Micha Bashol, Shol's daughter. Wore tefillin, but she was unique in the generation. Didn't have such a happy ending in her life, but again, she was unique in her generation. So you have, could be that if the original definition was that a person should perfect the mandatory areas before embracing the optional ones, so it's possible to say theoretically that someone could perfect the mandatory areas and then want the spiritual fulfillment as well. Usually those things are done mostly in private. If they're done in private, then you can't say it's Yohara, and it's a much more legitimate mode of service of HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. They seem not to want to publicize it.
Rashi's daughters. Yes, that could very well be. I gave a shiur last week in shul on Yeridas HaDoros, on the decline of generations. So one of the things that you find is, I think it was the Kleisenberger Rebbe writes in his Truvos, that these days we don't say Tikkun Chatzos or engage in excessive mourning practices over the Churban in public. Because that would be arrogance as well, that with everything that's happened, the people should try to put themselves in a public... in a public domain, as if, you know, their mourning is more heartfelt than the mourning of others. We're not on the madrega, not on the level, he said, that we can embrace such public mourning practices.
One other question, then. Why are these boys all with the tzitzis flying?
Tzitzis out? That seems to be the original minhag. Urisama sozus chartim, you should see that. So you should ask the question, why do some people wear it in? That's a better question. So it was the minhag of the Ari to wear it in.
Isn't it on the person?
Yes, but you can't see it if it's in.
Yeah.
You only see it in the morning. Also, some say once you fulfill the mitzvah once during the day, or during tefillah, that suffices. But it would just seem that Mikra Adin, the person who wears tefillin out, except for the Ari and others, would be following the halacha more, the minhag more closely. Because you're supposed to be able to see it. The Chafetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah is a very interesting parable, metaphor. He says that if a king gave you a medal, the people who receive medals from kings, presidents, they wear them around their neck, right? I always think when I think of the Mishnah Berurah, Lahavdil, Al Sharpton, when he was in his glory, In the 80s and 90s, he'd always wear around his neck a Martin Luther King medal that he'd received from some organization. He said if a person receives a medallion from the king, he's proud of it, so he wears it, everybody should see it. He said, tzitzis are a medallion from the king, that v'yisim kadoshim elokecha. So therefore, it behooves a person to publicize. It became a typical Jewish dress, you know, and like anything today, we're very fancy. We make undershirts that could be tzitzis, regular shirts. There's one fellow, one Rashiva comes around the neighborhood occasionally. He has a suit, in fact, that tzitzis, a suit jacket. It's four corners and it tzitzis. It's easy, that's easier to wear than anything else. But it's always a balance that we have to strike, you know, since so much of our Avodas Hashem is public, and yet whenever anything is done in public, it's always tinged with the notion of how others are perceiving it. And therefore, it's something that a person has to be careful of, not to do mitzvos as a performance for others. And if a person does that, then it really is a chisaron, it's a deficiency in Avodas Hashem. It's not an advantage. The Kutsk Rebbe used to say that in Kutsk, they're suspicious of people who do mitzvos in public. He said, better for a person to mitzvos in private and averus in public. He said, but the nature of man is the reverse, to do averus in private and mitzvos in public. Okay. What's that?
I'm sorry if I interrupted.
No, on the contrary. I was going to raise your point if you hadn't. All right, so let's look at the parasha, and we'll raise two questions on it. Well, maybe three. V'yamar Hashem Moshe, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'marta alehem, v'asu lehem tzitzis, akanfei b'diem, there are some. Tell Jews that they should make tzitzis, fringes, on the corners of their garments for all generations. And mitzvah doesn't end. V'nasnu al tzitzis akanof, they should put on the fringes of the corner fringes, psil tcheles, a thread of bluish wool, or a thread of blue. The wool is dyed blue. Some say one thread, some say two. The simple pshat is it's one thread that, because tzitzis are folded over, comes out looking like two. V'yolachem l'tzitzis, and these will be the fringes, uri semoso. And see, the normal methodology of the Torah is to present the mitzvah, and that's it. The mitzvah is in one pasuk. This is what it is, but a nice ending. But now the Torah goes on to discuss a framework in which this mitzvah takes place. Urisim also, you will see them, or see it, the psil tcheles. Uzchartem is kol mitzvos Hashem. You'll remember all the mitzvos of God, v'asisem osam, and you will do them. And you'll not go astray after your hearts, after your eyes, that you're always tempted to astray after or be seduced by. So that you should remember, and do all my mitzvos, and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God, took you out of Egypt to be your God. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am your God. From the mitzvah, which is very simple in its details, we find an elaboration on Yisrei Hadash, on the fundamental principles of Jewish life, that adds a background to the mitzvah that teaches us, in the words of Chazal, that the mitzvah of tzitzis is shekula keneged kol mitzvos. It's the equivalent of all the other mitzvos. Now, there are two points that should be emphasized, two ma'amari Chazal. One is on the psil tcheles, the thread of, the blue thread of wool, the wool thread that's dyed with the secretion of the chilazon. So the Gemara says, menachos daf mem gimel amud bez, why tcheles? Because tcheles doma layom, tcheles, the color of tcheles is similar and reminds of the sea. The yam l'rakia, the bluishness of the sea is a reflection of the bluishness of the heavens. You think of the heavens, rakia l'kisei hakavod, you think of the divine throne of glory. That's one gemara. What does that mean? We had this psil tcheles so that it should remind us of the sea and the rakia, the heavens, and the kiseh kavod. And next is the Gemara, which I guess brings the mitzvah of tzitzis to all of us. Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph asks, Parsha Tzitzis, Mipneima Kiva'uho. Why was the Parsha of Tzitzis appended to Kriyat Shema? So Kriyat Shema has the Parsha of Shema Va'afto, Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim, the acceptance of the yoke of God's kingship. It has Vayoim Shemoa, which is Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, the Parsha of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, the acceptance of Mitzvos. So that would seem to be a very nice introduction to the Shemoneh Esrei. No. The Parsha of Tzitzis was added to the Parsha, to the Mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, Om Rav Yehuda ben Chaviva, b'pnei she'esh bo shisha dvarim. Because there's six concepts, six ideas that are contained in this Parsha of Tzitzis. And we could list them because they all emerge from the Psukim. Mitzvah Tzitzis, the basic idea, the Mitzvah Tzitzis itself, and Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt. So, you know, there's a daily obligation that we have morning and night to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. So as a technical matter, we do it through V'yatziv, V'nachon, and V'emunah Kol Zos in the evening. But really, we do it in the Parsha of Tzitzis and Kriyat Shema. Ani Hashem Elokechem, Asher Tzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Losachem Elokim. That's the basic idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That mitzvah, by the way, of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim is incumbent upon men and women. It's not just limited to men. So therefore, in that sense, a woman would, if not be obligated to say the Parsha Tzitzis because of that pasuk, would at least, as most of the pasukim say, be obligated to say every morning the end brach of Kriyat Shema, of V'yatziv V'nachon or Emes V'munah, which speaks about Mitzrayim Galtanu Hashem Elokeinu, the Gul of Mitzrayim. So you have Tzitzis, you have Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have all mitzvos, meaning the yoke of mitzvos. Urisim also is hartem is kol mitzvos Hashem. Vilamantiz grub as hisem is kol mitzvos soi. So it's a reminder of the yoke of mitzvos as well. And then we have minus, losasur achre levavchem, don't be heretics. We have achre nechem, hirhur avero, right? You are desirous of that which the eye sees, and we seek to fulfill it in terms of sin. Asheratem zonim achreihem, that is avodah zarah, the cardinal sin of idolatry. So these six things, tzitzis, yetzias mitzrayim, all mitzvos, and the iser minus, hirhur avera, hirhur avodah zarah. So what is all that? It's a little paragraph which is chock full of very important ideas. Yes? Yeah. Tzitzis, Yetzias Mitzrayim, all mitzvos, minus, heresy, hirhur avera, the lust for sin, hirhur avodah zarah, the lust for idolatry. Those are the six. All right, so what's Tcheles, the thread of blue? So you all know that for almost 19 centuries, that can't be that long, maybe 16th, 17th centuries, we really lacked Tcheles because we lost the Mesorah as to how the Tcheles was to be made. In fact, Chazal are very critical. Rashi says it here in the Parsha, according to Gemara, of people who use a substitute and dye their thread that blue. Kala Elon was a different ingredient altogether. It was a plant as opposed to a secretion of a sea creature, the Chilazon, a worm. So we didn't have it. It's been restored to a large extent in the last 50 years. It was an attempt in the 19th century, but now it seems that they have really isolated a worm that's indigenous to the Mediterranean area that produces, when you follow the technique the Gemara speaks about, the bluish dye with which the thread is died. So that's why you see people having tcheles on their tzitzis as well. But there's the overarching purpose of tzitzis is the sanctification of clothing. Like we sanctify our homes through a mezuzah, we sanctify our clothing as well through tzitzis. Clothes are unique to man, to mankind. The prime, it's one of the prime areas of self-expression that we have in our world. Just look around. No one is wearing the same thing today. All right? That's correct. It's interesting. No one's wearing the same thing. Everyone dresses differently. And even if men sometimes look the same, you know, only so many varieties of suits, you'll notice that however many hundreds of people come to shul on the Shabbos, no one is ever wearing the same necktie. It's strange because it's not as if they make the ties individually, they make the ties in bulk. But for whatever reason, clothing becomes a primary mode of self-expression. But it cannot be in the realm of ego. Rather, it has to remind us always of our greater obligations or our greater aspirations in terms of service of Hashem. The mitzvos that we fulfill, the practical area of life, is defined by the lavon, by the white tzitzis. So tzitzis come with three threads on each corner that are white and one that are made of tchelas. So those are the mitzvos. Those are the practical. Those are the things that we do. The tchelas reminds us of a realm that's beyond our immediate reach. In other words, that's our striving. We do the mitzvos, but we do them not just that we should do these acts for ourselves, but we should strive for something greater to ourselves. So note then in the Gemara, the escalating areas of inaccessibility. Tchelas is doma layom. So we can go to the sea, we can't really survive that long at sea without assistance, but the sea is near us, but it's a domain that's not really part of us. In fact, the sea is the domain of fish. Fish live a completely different existence than we have. You take fish out of their environment, they can't survive. You put man in that environment, we can't survive. So it's near, it's very near to us, but it's not really accessible to us. So that represents our striving for something greater than ourselves. And of course, tchelas doma layom, but it's then doma larakia as well. Yom is doma larakia. The yom, the sea, is comparable to the heavens in terms of the color, the bluishness. But the heavens are more remote. They're more distant from us. They're more inaccessible to us. But they give us also the impetus to strive to grow beyond ourselves, beyond our needs, beyond even the things which tie us down to a mundane existence. Rakia l'kisei hakavod, with the ultimate goal being the kisei hakavod. It's very interesting, if you think about it, that the tzitzis are defined to remind us of the mitzvos, but not only the mitzvos, because a person can do mitzvos and be disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's also possible. Do mitzvos by rote, by routine, just do them. Just, you know, say the words in davening and not think of God. Just wind the tefillin around or say a bracha and not really connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's possible as well. Of course, it's contemptible, but it's possible. So that's why we have the tzitzis, the love to remind us of the practical, and the tchelas to remind us of what is greater than us. That's that Gemara Menachos, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and the purpose of the Nasnul Tzitzakonov, putting on the corner fringes, Psil Tchelas, this thread of blue. What about Rabbi Yehuda's statement, which is very far-reaching? Mipnei Makiva'ula, why did Chazal implant this parsha of Tzitzis in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? And Rabbi Yehuda said, "B'nei sheyeshba shisha dvarim," because there are these six things. Rav Kook, and I have the Alach Riyah in front of me, has a very beautiful explanation, and he says as follows: Shleimut Adam Tluya b'mashitielo matar kolelet l'chol retzanotav ufulotav b'chayim. That human perfection is dependent on a person having what he calls a matara kolelet, one defining objective for all his wishes and all his deeds in life. The pursuit of perfection requires a matara kolelet, it requires a framework in which all of our wishes and all of our actions make sense and all are designed to fulfill that purpose, to accomplish that particular goal. The question is, what's the goal? What is the goal? What's the matara kolelet that a Jew is supposed to have in which everything else makes sense? Everything else is part of, that framework, just details of that framework. You see, the truth is that people are very goal-oriented. America is especially a goal-oriented society. At least it was until a year and a half ago. But it's a goal-oriented society. People always establish goals for themselves. They want to weigh a certain amount. And every aspect of their lives that revolves around eating or exercise are designed to achieve that goal, reach what they perceive as their optimal weight. People have goals in terms of earnings. They want to earn a certain amount of money in order to care for a certain quantity of needs or luxuries that they have. Parents are very goal-oriented for their children, all right? Every parent of young children, shouldn't say every, don't know anymore, but many parents of young children always grew up with a height chart, right, on the wall in the kitchen. You ever see such a thing? I think we had it for one of the kids, maybe all of them, for all I know. A height chart, so kid goes from, 2 feet to 3 feet. By the time it hits, 4.5 feet, it's finished. It's, you move on. But this way you measure the progress that the child is making. To have a goal means you have to have a system in order to achieve that goal. You have to follow a protocol, like a doctor follows a protocol, or a surgeon follows, or a lawyer follows a protocol in order to achieve a certain end. So Rav Kook asks a very good question. What exactly are our spiritual goals? So we know there's Tariag mitzvahs out there. There's 613 mitzvahs that we have to fulfill. But what are spiritual goals in the mitzvahs? The mitzvahs cannot be individual entities that exist on their own without a common denominator, without a unifying framework. That is to say, everybody has desires, objectives, even in Avodas Hashem. All right, people will say, I don't want to speak Lashon Hara anymore. I don't want to talk in shul. I want to work on a particular midah. I want to become less cynical, become less angry. I want to learn more Torah. I want to become more charitable. I want to become more friendly. Whatever that particular goal is, but that's an individual goal. The question is, what's the plan? What's the overriding objective? What's the matara kolelet into which each of these individual desires, or to use a non-Jewish frame of reference, these resolutions that people will make, in what framework do they all coalesce? Do they all come together? The fact is, we know this to be true, if a person would say, for example, I want to uproot Lashon Hara from my daily life, I want to uproot talking in shul from my experience of tefillah, it's a very admirable objective. But if a person does not have a plan to achieve that objective, just leaves it in the realm of a good desire or good intention, it's not going to be fulfilled. It won't be realized. It can't be realized because it just exists without any connection between it, the objective, and our daily lives. Without a matara kolelet, Rav Kook wrote, we're like ke'oniyah miturefet. We're like a ship that's adrift at sea, that's listing, that's lost, that's buffeted by winds. So one day we're moved by this mitzvah, and the next day less so. And one day we're driven to one avera, and the next day to some other one. But we have no direction. We have no guidance. We're a craft that's unnavigated, and therefore we don't have any real purpose in life. What's the matara kolelet? So he says that for Jews, this kivun elyon is what the Chachamim described as v'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. That whatever a person does, whatever activity we do, should be for the sake of heaven. Everything. Ma'aseh mitzvah, for sure. The mitzvahs that we do, halavai, mitzvahs that we do, they should be devoted to service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even averos can be l'shem shamayim. Even sins, case I mentioned in my book on Shoftim, the famous case of Yoel Eshes Chevra Keini, Yoel slept with Sisera. So the Gemara says that's an avera l'shma, it's a mitzvah l'shem shamayim, it's an avera l'shem shamayim, a sin for the sake of heaven. Even her sin was designed to effect a greater, more noble purpose. We don't encounter that as often as we think. even though we like to think that all our Averis are L'shem Shemayim, it's not so. But we do encounter it in its probably most numerous area, and that is Maisei Reshus, optional acts. Things that we do because they're permissible, but not necessarily mandatory. Eating, drinking, sleeping, working, etc. All those things are permissible. They're not necessarily mitzvahs, and yet that's the realm in which Chazal emphasized, "V'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim," that all our deeds should be for the sake of heaven. That when we eat to gain strength to serve God. We sleep to gain strength to serve God. If a person drinks, he drinks for the same reason. What if a person then starts eating and drinking, not l'shem shemayim, but either because he's drawn to it, attracted to it, he's enamored of it, even, as some say, Rabbeinu Yonah said, even if he enjoys it, that's already not l'shem shemayim. That's l'shem atzmo, that's a personal fulfillment, and that really is no longer l'shem shemayim. All right, so there's a whole discussion, to what extent are we allowed to indulge ourselves in things that are permissible? That's a different discussion. But at least you see the framework. The overarching objective that we have is that all our deeds should be for the sake of heaven. Every day, we're mekabel olmah ha-shamayim. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Every day, we accept upon ourselves the yoke of God's monarchy, we accept Him as King, and then we accept ourselves, upon ourselves, the old mitzvos as well. The mitzvos that God commanded us, we accept to do as well. Rav Kook says what the Gemara means in Brachos Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the statement of Rav Yehuda ben Chaviva, is that it's not enough just for a person to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim, and even to be mekabel ol mitzvos. That's also not enough. It's something, it needs a supplement. It needs to be fleshed out in a way that the matara kolelet is constantly before our mind's eye. And if it's not fleshed out, then we'll never be able to achieve the objective, even if we're mekabel ol malchus shamayim and ol mitzvos every single day. So what are these six concepts? So the mitzvah of tzitzis itself is an introduction to, as well as a reminder of the mitzvah kolelas. That's the mitzvah which is at the heart of the parsha, but additionally, it's the mitzvah that urisimosa uzchartemus kol mitzvahs Hashem, vasisimosom. So it's an introduction to the notion that the mitzvahs come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's within the context of the mitzvahs that we find our ideal service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What next? Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Elokechem, Asher Tzeisi Eschem, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Le'osachem Le'elokim. Every day, a Jew has to think, morning and night, about the exodus from Egypt. But the fact that God took us out of Egypt. Why? Because an Eved, a slave, has no purpose in life. He really doesn't have a life. A slave, in fact, exists without goals. He has no personal goals. Who sets the goal of the slave? The master. So a slave is an individual who exists without a purpose, without an objective in life. So now we have to remind ourselves every day that God liberated us from Mitzrayim for a purpose. Every day we reflect on our chayrus, on our liberation, our freedom from slavery, in the sense that we think to ourselves that we are alive now in order to effect a certain purpose, the purpose that God set out for us. So we didn't move, as we discussed on Pesach time, from a situation of avdus, of slavery, to a situation of complete, unfettered chayrus, in which we have no obligations at all? No. We went from a situation of avdus to man, which is the ultimate subjugation, ultimate degradation, to a situation of avdus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which really is chayrus for the human being. And thirdly, the ol mitzvos. That's the third of the six that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned. We reflect in the parsha of Tzitzis on the ol mitzvos, not just that we're going to do them, that's Vayam Shema, but on the grand objective of V'chol Ma'asecha Yiyu L'shem Shemayim, that whatever we do has to reflect our awareness, our constant awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those are three ideas that are contained in the Parsha of Tzitzis. Tzitzis itself has a physical demonstration of this idea, and Yetzias Mitzrayim, which remind us of the purpose of our existence on a daily, twice daily basis, and the old mitzvahs as well, to do all the mitzvahs in the context of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All sounds wonderful. What could you possibly add to that? What other reminders are necessary so we should not be detracted from the Matara Kolelet, from that overarching objective, that defining goal of life? And the answer is that there are counterforces that exist in our world, and these counterforces take us away, remove us, distance us from the goal. What are these counterforces? They exist, Rav Kook said, in three different realms. One of them is minus, heresy. But heresy is not simply that I deny that there's a God. That's really about a czar in a sense. Heresy means that I believe that there's no purpose to life. That there's no goal, there's no objective. We're born, we live, we die, and that's it. And the quest for human greatness is in fact a man-made delusion. That's what the Min believes. The Min, therefore, has no connection to God. It does lend itself to a certain nihilism about life, that really life is important, but there's nothing cosmic, nothing significant, nothing beyond the fact that I'm a clump of cells that are going to be here today and gone tomorrow. That attitude, which, by the way, is not as uncommon as you think in the world, especially among secular men, is one that destroys any notion of personal greatness that we could have, any aspirations for moral goodness. It simply becomes unnecessary, or on some level, part of a compact that we make with each other. I don't harm you, you don't harm me, but it has no transcendental cosmic significance to it. It's just contracts that we make with each other. Minus is deadly. Minus is also skepticism, that a person believes that, there's no absolute truth, right? There's no absolute right or wrong, no absolute good and evil, that we live in the world of the relative. That ideology seeps into our world as well. And so the Torah identifies this for us. Lo sasur achrei levavchem. This is what you'll think. These are the ideas that will be extant in every society, not just 21st century America, in every society that you have to seek to counterbalance. What next? Once you're living a purposeless existence, then you fall prey to hirhur avera. Lo sasur achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem. The lave desires, the eye sees, Rashi says, and then a person goes out, Asheratem Zanim Achrayem, you go out to fulfill it. Sin is degrading, and sin reduces the sinner to the level of an animal, in which he is just fulfilling, gratifying his passions without any type of redeeming quality. But if the purposeless life is one that is the hallmark of the heretic, the min, and leads a person inevitably to sin, there's something else which is even more inevitable, and that's avodah zarah. That's the denial that there is a God, or the creation by the human being of his own God, which is avodah zarah, creation of our own God in order to justify our deeds and rationalize our perversions. So now you see, in these three realms, of minus, of intellectual distortion, of avera, of distortion, of instinctual distortion, and avodah zarah, which is a spiritual distortion, we see those three forces that really stand against our, or try to thwart our fulfillment of tzitzis, and a reminder of the gloried avdus of Klal Yisrael today, and the old hamitzos as well. The first three really try to overwhelm and silence the second three. But the second three, of course, are pervasive, if not relentless. And they don't let up throughout our lives. But these are the reminders that a person has. But what Rav Kook said is that we can't ever lose sight of the Matara Kolelet, of the defining objective of to be an Eved Hashem, to be a servant of God in everything we do in life, the holy and the mundane. And when we leave shul, we finish davening, for example, we take this parsha of Tzitzis with us, because both the good forces and the harmful forces will present themselves to us during the day, and they each have to be dealt with. In fact, he said, that's what happened to the Miraglim. All the Mefarshim note the symmetry of language that exists at the beginning of the Sedra and the end of the Sedra. Moshe sent the spies, Shlach Lecha Anashim, what's Pasuk say? The Asuru es Eretz Kanaan, and they'll go scout out the land. And how does the Parsha end? V'lo Sasuru Achrei Lovavchem V'Achrei Nechem. True, the same word. What's the Pshat? The Pshat is that the Miraglim, they did not have a Matara Kolelet. They lost sight of what their defining objective should be in life. So they did not want to enter Eretz Yisrael. By the same token, they did not want to remain in the Midbar. They didn't know what they wanted. So what they did is they urged upon the Jewish people the most unrealistic choice of all. Halo tov lanu shuv Mitzrayma. Let's turn back the clock and return to Egypt and start again. Maybe it'll be something which is more amenable to my personality. They really didn't have a plan. They didn't have a matara kolelet, didn't have an objective. The plan came down to essentially, let's ruin today and we'll hope that tomorrow will be somewhat better. And that, of course, is a plan that's catastrophic for human endeavors. The parasha of Tzitzis really challenges us to set our goals and our objectives in the area of life that matters most to us, our service of Hashem, and plan how to achieve them, and then be able to measure our progress daily, weekly, monthly, annually, whatever it is. That is the culmination of this parsha. So it's added to Shema and Vehoyim Shemoa. That's why it really is a summary almost of the downfall of the Miraglim that are at the heart of our Sedra. And that really represents for us our world of personal and national greatness, in which we merit Yisim Kedoshim Lokechem, not just a performer, not just a doer of acts, but rather a person who's holy to God, who can say, who can respond when Hashem says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, who can respond, in fact, yes, Hashem Elokeichem Emes, that God is truth and His seal is truth, and what we want in our world is to actualize that truth in a realistic way, in a profound way, so that we and all of mankind are bettered by it. That's the parasha Tzitzis. All right. I thank you all very much.